Hi, I'm Eric.
I'm Alec.
We're the Petchy Brothers.
And this is Story Tap, where my brother and I try to tap the potential of an idea by turning it into a story.
This episode, Teen Titans, the Movie, Part 1, a film adaptation of the 2003 animated series of the same name.
That's funny.
That show was so funny.
Right.
Remember Teen Titans?
Yeah, I do. Do you remember how our viewership goes way up when we do something that appeals to fandom sensibilities, nostalgia, or just something that people actually watch anyway?
Because there's likely somebody out there who's just going on Spotify looking up Teen Titans, yeah. And then it's like, uploaded, ooh, this one's uploaded in the past, like, week,
because they haven't had a
fresh.
Yeah, because they haven't had a fix on that kind of thing in years, except for, you know, the DC show, Titans, which, to my knowledge, nobody watched, those who did, it was sort of like trying to relive your youth tripping acid at Woodstock, and then you find out it's, like, laced with anthrax, and you have a nightmare trip.
I think if something is laced with anthrax, you just die.
Yeah, I couldn't think of something that it would be laced with. Like, usually acid is the thing you lace stuff with to make it horrible, so I sort of set myself up for a bad metaphor trip.
Yeah, did you know that they, like, wrapped up the Teen Titans Terra subplot in the comics? In like, the comics that were based on the show.
This is why I need to read more comic books.
It broke my heart.
Oh, God.
Her brother comes through, and he explains her, like, origin and everything, that she was, like, royalty in some other country loosely based on Germany, kind of, I think.
Kind of, or something.
And then,
you know,
they,
Genovia, or
yeah,
what at the Paris.
And then they talk about what, they calm him down, because he's, you know, fuming. He's like, we've had this revolution going on the whole time, where's my sister? And then they're like, the she was, you know, a superhero, and then she kind of died, turned into a statue, whatever. And he's like, oh, bet, we're going to get her. He goes with Beast Boy to her school, they see her, and he leaves her alone. Because he's like, if it's true, and she, you know, doesn't remember, air quotes, she's either telling the truth, and she actually doesn't remember, or she's not, and she wants to do this instead. And then she sees them, and then she, like, they leave, and then she's like, bye, thanks. And she, like, it's hinted that she did remember, and she just wants to, like, you know, not be a superhero or anything.
I'm so sad now. That's really sad.
So anyway, we're gonna make a Teen Titans movie.
And, yeah. I gotta read more comic books, that's what I'm here. Okay, so, I mean, I think that works really well, and it kind of presents an opportunity for this sustained multi-franchise project, like what the MCU has, and what DC has always sort of fumbled along with, and sort of, kind of, almost done, but never really achieved, which is definitely showcased by AT&T's recently dropping Warner Media like a bad habit.
Oof. You know Discovery bot?
Yeah.
Yeah, ooh, media giant right there.
Yeah, Discovery.
Who'd have guessed?
Not me. Just like anything. How long before Tesla buys a major studio? What do you think?
Let's just not talk about this.
Yeah, oh yeah,
100%. Because I don't want to get on a soapbox and talk about something dangerous. Anyway, Teen Titans movie.
Teen Titans movie.
Ooh, yes indeedy.
That'd be great.
What kind of tone?
I think that there is, like, kind of a problem with Titans is that it was something that people have fond memories of, and that is inherently kind of goofy.
Yeah.
Trying to take itself really, really seriously.
That's pretty true.
I think, for one thing, this could work better if you had, like, an established Robin.
Yeah.
It was like, if you had a Batman movie with Robin, or you'd done a couple of Batman movies with Robin, and now, like, you have this spin-off property that is recognizable. But, I mean, if it's intended as, and I think the idea here is kind of that this is intended as an adaptation of the popular TV show. Teen Titans.
I agree for
film.
So I was going to say, I think we should go for like a Marvel Heroes kind of tone of being able to be silly, being able to, you know, just goof around a little bit and throw in jokes, but with like there's action and the stakes are serious. But I realize now that wouldn't really fit in with what DC has going on with most of their IPs.
Uh-huh.
Because DC as a whole is going for like a darker, very serious kind of thing with all of its heroes, especially Batman. There's Ben Affleck, who, you know, Snyder Cut and all of that. And then on the other side, there's the Batman with Robert Pattinson. And like, those are dark and darker. But Robin is so closely attached to Batman that if it were live action, we would just be splintering off way too harshly. I'm thinking a 3D animated movie.
Ah.
So.
Okay.
I say that because I think that would strike a very good balance between, oh, it is a lighthearted kind of superhero TV show, while being, well, I say lighthearted, it strikes its own, think like Guardians of the Galaxy or Spider-Man, pretty much, is what I'm getting at.
Okay, Guardians of the Galaxy is a good way to put it, most especially because it's like an ensemble cast. So we're talking like, and I kind of assume when you say 3D that you're talking Arcane Spider-Verse 3D animation with the cool 2D details.
Exactly. Cause its origin is from comic books and like really stylized visuals with really harsh outlines on the characters, like, you know, 3D models, but with like really hand drawn looking kind of detail on there.
Yeah.
That would just strike something so classic,
especially with the aesthetics of the TV show, you know, like that super iconic theme song sequence.
Yo, we could borrow the theme song. 100%. That would be so cool.
Oh, you'd have to.
Remember Puffy on me? I think for this to be a franchisable kind of thing, for you know, allow room for sequels and make this like a big deal, It would probably have to be an origin story for the team, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I want it to not I want it to be like the show, in that we are dealing with exclusively not like B-listers, not like B-team, but like none of the anybody who's in the Justice League is a no-go, except Cyborg, because Cyborg is in the Justice League now, I think.
Right.
I think he was in the Teen Titans first and the Justice League.
I don't Cyborg know. I feel like it should be divorced from that. First of all, I think one of the reasons I was so excited for the Batman is because I thought it was going to be a soft reboot on all of this, the stuff DC is trying to go for. I get that some people do like these movies, and some of them are fine, but a lot of them are just, It never came the way, it never came together the way that the MCU did.
Yeah, very true. I want it to be an origin story in, like, like Guardians of the Galaxy. We get exposition. I don't think we get any flashbacks for anybody, but basically, we've got one person, and maybe we just follow that formula of Guardians of the Galaxy 1. Robin is Star-Lord, doing his own thing, and he comes into... He forms a team more of a matter of circumstance. You know what I mean? Like, I'm putting together a team. He's just like... Maybe he's trying to emulate Batman and him going to the new city, whatever the city might be called.
I mean, they usually call it the city. I think sometimes we have Jump City, and I know that Nightwing operates out of Bloodhaven in most of the comic books.
Yeah. We'll call it, Jump City?
Jump City is one of the names they use.
Okay, so Robin comes to Jump City. Should he be trying to do like a lone wolf thing? Or should he be should he just be following a lead? Maybe this is him trying to sort of... should he be trying to prove himself as a solo guy? Or should he be... basically, who is he trying to prove himself to? Is he, like, I'm new to Jump City and I'm trying to make it like my city. I'm trying to protect it as my city so that I can prove to Batman I can do my own thing. Or maybe is it just like, do we even mention Batman at all?
You know, in the show they had several nods to Batman, but they never talked about him.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's an option. I think that there's something to be said there, for that. It's like, Robin, I feel like maybe the first interaction that we have is like, he uses a batarang to do something, and then, somebody's like, you're not Batman, who are you?
Yeah.
So that he, and then like the next thing he does is change the gear.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That could be a little bit of a funny bit is he's like, yeah, it's me, Robin, and they're like, oh no, it's Batman's sidekick, and they're like, yeah, Robin, and he's like, watch out, guys, I think Batman's sidekick is here. Please use my name. That might be a thing, and then, yeah
which,
okay.
Which I think kind of captures I have a you know it. You call me Batman side. It's Batman and.
Yeah. Okay. So this is him. We don't say it outright. Like there's some sort of arrangement there, but someone needs an origin story. So maybe we do center all of this around Robin. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think because
it can't afford
sense.
To be quite as superficial as a show. It, like, someone does need flashbacks. Someone does need, like, what they have going on before Jump City. And I think it should be Robin. And then everybody else can get their solo movie Black Widow style some other time.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think that kind of makes sense if Robin comes to Jump City and is kind of established as this... prime piece of not like a prime piece of real estate, but it's something that's happened with a lot of superheroes is that like it's got a fair number of C-listers hanging around, but no one kind of considered like the guardian of the city, and he's trying to claim that for himself.
Yeah.
I think that... Alright, so they've got an origin story for the team in the show, and it's when... Yeah. Starfire is, like... is escapes from imprisonment on, a ship of alien slavers, and she lands on Earth.
Yeah. A hot alien babe.
Hot alien babe.
Comes crashing down...
Warrior princess.
And yeah.
No, yeah.
In the original, I don't want to say original, but in the 2003-ish show, she was like a prisoner or exiled or something.
Huh? I mean, she'd been kidnapped.
Yeah. Why didn't she go back immediately?
That's a good question.
Huh. Okay, that's something to figure out.
That is something. Well, that's
a little character development we can play with. Maybe we take some creative license. Next was Beast Boy. Maybe getting this is okay. This is pretty fun because this is pretty hard.
Uh huh.
Getting the team together, Guardians of the Galaxy style. We got Rocket and Groot. Just happened to be nearby. When they shot some guy who happened to be Star-Lord, I think, right? Were they bounty hunters looking for him? I think that was it.
Yes. They were like they're just bounty hunting, and they're looking for bounties, and they find quills, and it's crazy high, so they go for it.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. I feel like Beast Boy, I feel like Beast Boy kind of gets written off as a doofus when he's actually got some specific stuff baked in.
Yeah.
He's like a hardcore vegan.
Yeah.
Because he
can be those animals.
I've been most of those animals.
Yep.
It's a real line from the show.
Yep.
I think that is sort of his presence here, is that, like, he's an Instagram influencer, animal rights kind of superhero.
Cool.
And he's like, and I think that that can embody something in the show, is that, like, he has tunnel vision.
Yeah.
He is super focused on this one thing.
Okay. Okay. So we've got, we've sort of, man, we still don't really know how we're going to get, them in the same place. I'm thinking Robin puts up, like, a next door post or something, like, hey, I'm trying to make a team, or that kind of goes against what he's all about, though, of being, like, he wants to be like Batman and prove himself.
Yeah.
I think, okay, we'll frame it around Robin. We'll start with Robin. And I'm getting ahead of myself. We got to talk about Raven and Cyborg.
Right. Okay. Should
Cyborg be newly cyborged?
I think that works. I think that works well with this concept. Mm-hmm. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should kind of base it loosely off that episode. This movie very loosely, like very loosely, off of that episode, the origin story episode from the show. I think Cyborg, there's kind of different opportunities with the, you know what? Yeah, I feel like he should be, I don't know. I don't know.
I guess we'll sort of hint at what he's got going on, because kind of the essence of Cyborg, from my understanding, my very limited understanding, since I've only seen him in a couple of things, and basically I don't know much about comic books Cyborg, is that he has his life plan of, you know, normal boy, young man.
He's going to go to college. He's going to go to college.
He's going into football. He wants to be a football player. Some sort of accident occurs, and he is now a cyborg. And he's basically tries to be a lone wolf and be sad about it. And he has his moment to, you know, go through all of that. But he realizes his ability allows him to help people and protect people. And no matter how hard he tries to, like, isolate himself and all of that, like, he will come back to help out. And so I think there should be a little moment in the movie, probably pretty near the beginning, where Robin is fighting a monster or something is going on, and Cyborg is just, like, some guy on the street who, like, is like, I gotta get involved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, like, he tries to walk away. I don't remember. Is this how it happens in the original show? He tries to walk away, and then he's like, that was a one-time thing. Goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Cyborg feels forced to help out, and his hoodie gets fried.
Yeah.
And then he's super pissed.
Yeah. And lastly, there is Raven, who I have zero memory of how Raven got involved and joined the team in that Origins episode of the original show.
I don't remember either. She just kind of shows.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that Raven is actually inherently isolationist.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't want any part of any kind of adventuring. And you'll find out why later. Because she is... I think Raven literally just shows up in the show. I don't think that rings true for this. I think that Raven is trying to find some way. She's, like, she's basically, she's a soft antichrist is what she is.
Ooh, kind of.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to be responsible for the destruction of the Earth. So I think that it should just be, she's trying to do her own thing in her apartment to find some way to escape this fate that has been assigned to her.
Okay.
Like, she's got the candles, she's in the occult bookstore looking stuff up.
Okay. I'm thinking that it's hard to figure out some, like, plot points without committing to a more mature tone than what I'm kind of going for. I'm thinking the very, very first scene, the teaser we should have, maybe is the villain, and Okay, how about this? Uh-huh. I liked what you said about, I think it was like C-listers are all running around Jump City.
Yep.
And yeah, here we go. This is like, okay, that way we get a kind of cartoony, kind of childish tone to it. Batman and Robin are kind of squabbling, and they're like, hey, Batman, I want to be my own thing. And Batman is like, there's no way, Robin, you're ready for that. He's like, oh yeah, well, like, just let me try something. And then Batman puts together, he's like, okay, training grounds. I'm going to send you to Jump City. If you can, no, okay, not, he doesn't even tell him the plan. He's like, you go to Jump City, prove yourself, I'll give you X amount of time. Right now, I'll say like a week or something. Robin will say, okay, bet. He gets there, and then he finds a bunch of other sidekicks from other IPs from the Justice League. That is like, and then he's like, I see what you're doing. You think, like, I'm not ready, so you're just sending me to, like, the equivalent of daycare, because this is where everybody goes to, like, punch out their feelings and then come back to their, you know, their main hero.
Yeah.
But not me, you know what I mean?
Yes, actually.
So, there, like, we've kind of locked in Robin and what he's got going on.
Yeah, so he's like, I'll prove it. I'll prove you wrong. I'm gonna run this place. I am going to be the hero of Jump City.
Yeah. Oh, great. Okay, awesome. And then, who should he have, like, to... Who should he enlist? Okay, there we go. Beast Boy. First person he meets when he gets there is Beast Boy. And Beast Boy is, like, an Instagram influencer. Yeah,
and he's, like... And he's also... Beast Boy is kind of a dork. So he's a superhero fan. He's like, man, yeah, you're legit. I've met a lot of people, but you're the real deal.
You're a B-lister. You know, like, yeah. Everyone here's a C-lister and you're on the, like, B-list. And yeah. Robin is like, oh my gosh, leave me alone. He's like, you're a Batman sidekick. You know? He's like, because Batman is like number one
in
Beast Boy's eyes. He's like a super Batman fan. And there, I just put myself in the writer's room. I'm writing for Beast Boy.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. So what Robin sort of thinks is we need what, maybe he calls Batman and basically he's like, has a convo. He's like, why did you send me here to just to punch my feelings out? And then Batman is like, surprise, here's your real test. The only thing you kind of suck at is playing well with others. If you can organize all of those heroes or all of those sidekicks, and like, I'm asking you to save Jump City, because all of the people who go there to punch their feelings out, they end up doing more damage to the city than like saving it. So, you know, stop that, and then I'll seriously consider you letting you do your own thing. And he's like, okay, bet. And then Beast Boy is like, yo, I have, like, you know, I'm connections with every sidekick here on LinkedIn. Like, we can do this. And then that is the sort of first assumption mistake Robin makes of he's going to try and get everybody on the same team overnight. Mm-hmm. Instead of just, like, you know, doing good and enforcing order.
Right. So I think that actually works kind of well for our first arc. Robin and Beast Boy are going around trying to start, I don't know, the Jump City Superhero Union and get these guys to behave themselves.
Yes.
So they go through, and we can cycle through, like, some low-level people. It's like, we got the new Blue Beetle, and Kid Flash and Speedy.
Yes.
And other people who, everybody I'm listing, DC fans will be familiar with.
There you go.
So let's go a little, and I mean, we can actually go a little bit deeper. What's your name? Dazzle Flash. Sounds fake. It is.
This is so great. They try to get everybody to join to make like a guild or something. Beast Boy is mostly concerned about like selling t-shirts.
It's like, and, click, you know, selfie.
Yeah, that's that kind of awful stuff.
Yeah.
And basically what happens is they stumble on something a lot more serious.
Right.
And, okay, here I'm sort of figuring out the major plot points in my head. They stumble upon the much more serious thing, and I'm thinking something dark, magic-y, so that Raven can get involved.
Right.
And Robin's sort of first assumption is, You see, if we were all just on the same team, we could solve this. This is a big problem, but if we were all on the same team,
right,
my team, we could solve this overnight. And then as he, like, makes friends with the other four, then he slowly starts to realize, oh, I am the exact same as everybody else here. I only have my own interests. Right. And the point of being a team is communication and compromise.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. I feel like that kind of presents a specific opportunity for the antagonist, at least in this instance, is that there is kind of a conspiracy in Jump City, that there is a secret science group who kind of has their fingers in all of the pies.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of, the avenue into it is kind of this, like, this magical element, is that, like, this artifact went missing from the museum last week, and I figure at this point they've met up with Cyborg. They can meet Cyborg and Raven at the same place. It's like Cyborg is looking for, like, he's out of scientific ways to try and fix himself, and he's looking for something in this occult bookstore where Raven works.
Okay.
That might not work, but that's...
Well, no, I dig them sort of stumbling on Cyborg, but I'm thinking Raven is someone who's sort of sought out. You know what I mean?
Yes. Okay.
So, like, I hate that. So, like... So, like... I hate that I say that.
Okay. I do like that a lot, actually, is that... I think that something that should kind of... Something that would be good is collateral, that the disorganization of all of the low-level heroes in Jump City is being exploited. Mm-hmm. And then it's like that this organization, the Hive.
Yeah, I was thinking Hive, the but Hive it would be hard. Is,
I know, but like, but the Hive, and I think we can kind of, we can put a face on the Hive as we go. But the Hive subcontracts to these C-list villains to do C-list crimes and fight C-list heroes. And they exploit the chaos to, like, it's like, all right, you blew up Star Labs. Like, oh no, 4 artifacts went missing from there. Ah, must have been lost in the damage.
Maybe they're recruiting. Brother Blood, who has a dope name, by Great the way. Name. Brother Blood is sending in, like, B-listers to take advantage of, like, the C-lister... he's sending in B-lister villains to recruit C-list hero sidekicks. Because, here we go, playing back into the theme, he knows they only are, like, going there for selfish, self-interested kind of reasons. So, yep. Basically, they go in and they're like, oh, you want to punch your feelings out? We have a boxing gym at the Hive Academy kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And, oh my gosh. Okay, I've got it now. Okay. Broad picture, more broad picture kind of stuff. Robin meets Beast Boy because he, like, posted on Instagram or something, hey, I'm coming to Jump City, I want to, like, fix you. He's very pompous about it. Beast Boy is like, yeah, okay, I'll sell some t-shirts taking advantage of you. And Robin is like, I'll use you as a social media pusher to get my message out there. We're using each other. It's all good. Robin thinks, oh, this is what it means to be a team.
Yeah. They, like that.
They, should they run into Cyborg next? Or how about, Starfire? Basically.
I think that something that works is that Starfire is, no, that doesn't work because that leaves her out of too much of the movie. I was going to say, it's like when they first get into seeing that there is a depth of conspiracy here, that there is an organization that is behind things, and they get into the, like, the Hive Academy headquarters to look, or not Hive Academy or whatever, but like the Hive headquarters, they are holding Starfire prisoner, like, unconscious in a can.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then they wake her up, and she goes, just absolutely hulks out and destroys the place.
Yo, this is great. That's genius.
And that's,
okay.
I think that And I okay, that actually represents a lot, is that you have, because that is in the five-man band idea behind the Teen Titans, that is like who Starfire is. She is the passion and the heart of the group.
Oh, yeah.
And like on its own, that is destructive.
Gosh, that is good. Okay.
Like they wake her up. They're like, we're saving the damsel in distress. And then, you know, like the hive scientist is like, oh my God, what did you do?
Oh my gosh. Like, I love what? This. Oh, I love it. Okay. We got it. All right.
We need to take a beat. What was with the Kryptonian warrior princess?
Is Starfire now like kind of not the villain, but like the big obstacle? Because what I am kind of digging is Robin sees something so powerful, so immense, such a big problem, and then he starts budgeting. Maybe I just strike a deal with the Hive because I just want to get out of here.
Yeah.
And then that's him. And then something gets him out of there. We're kind of getting into second half territory. So the main villain is Brother Blood and the Hive Academy, Hive headquarters, whatever.
Just the Hive. I like the Hive.
So Starfire is now the last one who joins the team?
Was yes. That kind of dig? Cool. I like cool. that.
Cool.
I think that sort of... I actually really like that. So they look into it and they... So after like the little powwow act 1.5 group sesh... of Beast Boy and Robin trying to get people to join up and be part of, like, yeah, we're in a club, we're a team, they fight, I don't know, let's say Jinx. They fight Jinx, and they're like, that looked like magic. Do we know anybody who can, like, and magic leaves residue, right? I don't know. Do we have contact with anybody who and knows then, how to handle magic? And then and Beast Boy is like, scroll, well, scroll, I've been scroll, DMing scroll, this girl. Scroll, scroll, scroll. We got one in the city.
Ooh, dig it.
Real C-lister, even by our standards, doesn't do anything, actually.
She doesn't talk to anyone.
Doesn't do anything, doesn't talk to anyone. But worth a shot talking to her.
Oh my gosh. Okay. We should go through chronologically up to the half point. I've kind of got everything figured out, though.
Okay.
Robin talks with Batman, wants to do his own thing. Batman says, you know what, proving grounds in Jump City. He goes to Jump City, Robin. He sees all these other C-list sidekicks. He's very upset that he thinks Batman sees him as just like a child throwing a tantrum. And he throws him somewhere for him to just punch his feelings out, get tired, and come home. And he's like, no way. Calls Batman up. He's like, I see what you're doing. Why are you doing this? Batman says, I want you to basically save Jump City. Yeah. Not from just the bad guys, but work with all the other heroes and get them organized. And he's like, you don't think I can do that?
You don't work with anyone. Yeah, but I'm Batman.
Yeah, he's Batman. Oh my gosh, that's good. Okay. Robin basically puts out like an Instagram ad or something. He doesn't know what he's doing. He just posts on the internet. That's a plot point we'll have to come up with. This is broad strokes right now.
I don't know. I feel like Beast Boy, I feel like he can seek out Beast Boy. Beast Boy is doing like the infotainment pseudo journalism thing.
Yeah.
Instagram influencer.
And oh my gosh, he got his following after from the Doom Patrol. They made him. Like, they gave him a sort of small following, and he grew that. Now he's kind of famous.
Yeah.
Okay. He goes to Beast Boy. Beast Boy is like, heck yes, I love this campaign.
And he helps people, but he always does it in a very flashy and self-serving way.
Yes. And he's, Beast Boy, he's like, yes, let's do this campaign. We're using each other. They try to do all of this. They make matching t-shirts. They make membership cards. And then... small sort of obstacle, maybe, okay, we're still broad strokes, small sort of obstacle, some sort of alien something or other, or maybe it is something related to the Hive, or maybe it's something magic-y, happens. Cyborg gets involved, and he's basically like, I'm just passing by, I don't want to do this, and how do we make Cyborg a selfish and self-interested person without betraying his character of he just can't help but help?
Okay, I think Jinx, or, you know, like the original Hive trio or Hive 5, wreaking some havoc is a good thing. Like Mammoth, Gizmo, and Jinx.
Cool.
They're doing something. And maybe Beast Boy and Robin have like two other people around and they just get wrecked immediately. It's like, you're not important to the plot. Take that. and they're okay. And they run home to mommy and daddy. Like you're supposed to when you're a sidekick who goes to Jump City.
oh, yeah.
But, and Cyborg sees it and doesn't do Jack to help them. But when one of them, when like a bomb or a blast goes off course, and like aims for a diner, he jumps in front of somebody to stop them from getting hurt.
Yes. Okay. Dope. And the only reason he sticks around is because, here we go, Mother Box. Or was it a Father Box or a Mother Box?
It was a Father Box.
Okay, yeah. The Father Box that gave Cyborg his power thing, his robot-y bits.
Uh-huh.
He goes to Jump City because that's like the hub of the most chaos and most diverse power stuff.
Yep.
He is looking for other Doomsday-style tech to fix himself. And that's the only reason he's chilling, is because, like, well, what we're dealing with is some sort of mix between, like, you know, apocalyptic technology, science meets magic.
Yeah, I think that then actually it makes more sense for Cyborg to be the one who knows about Raven.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, this weird connected introvert girl who didn't want to talk to me. Yeah, yeah. She might know. Yeah. Okay.
This girl, I was looking for information on science magic stuff. There's only one really good occult bookstore in the city. There's one girl though. One girl worked there, seemed to know everything. If you can get her to talk.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right. So, oh my gosh, that's so good. All of the small stuff that's seemingly unrelated in the first half is all actually like Hive doing their thing so as to recruit people.
Right. Okay, so I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still in the first half, what is it that gets Raven involved?
Yeah, I forgot to think about why she's here at all.
Well, then let's look at her character, Raven as a character, and I think it makes sense that she is trying to find a way to escape what she is supposedly destined for. She is supposed to open a portal for her father to come to Earth and destroy it.
Yeah. To avoid her just doing the exact same thing as Cyborg, you know, I want to be alone, I want to, you know, isolate myself or just negate my powers and leave this place entirely. Uh-huh. Oh, but I can't help but help. To avoid just copying and pasting that, maybe it should be something more. She has an idea of, I'm trying to figure out how to make her motivation less noble, you know what I mean? She's basically,
okay, then maybe we cast it as penance.
Uh-huh. Elaborate.
It's like, it's not I can't help but help. It's I don't want to help. I feel that, ooh, I have to.
Oh, yo! That's so dope,
That dude. Was kind of Raven's original motivation in the show. She said, it's like, I thought I could change if I became a hero, if I did good things.
That's so dope. Okay, that's really cool. She's given up. She doesn't, she is either helping other people or making herself miserable so that she can like sort of offset this bad feeling that's definitely going to hit when she does destroy the world or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I don't, yeah, she's, and I mean, obviously she thinks she's going to destroy the world. She doesn't. It, okay, so yeah, this is all, her character is fueled like entirely by guilt. It's not just, I can't have people in my life that I care about because, I can't have people in my life that I care about because I'll hurt them and one day they're probably going to die and it's going to be my fault.
Oh, goodness. Oh, that's, I
don't,
so
and
great.
And also, I don't deserve them because they're going to die and it's going to be my fault.
Gosh, that's great. So good. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So that's really solid. So that is why Raven is like hesitant to assist at first, is that, I mean, that's the motivation. She doesn't just like tell him, and you'd find this out like two movies from now.
Oh gosh.
But so that's what is that Raven is like, go away. I don't work with anyone else. It gets made kind of clear, like, you're the only one who can do this.
Right.
Like, you have an obligation. And then Raven hears the word obligation.
Oh, wait, I'll help a bunch of people and I'll make myself miserable in the process? Dub, let's do it.
Yeah.
That's so good. Okay.
And that is what leads them, is that she's like, this is a particular kind of magic. It's the kind that one person is born with. It's like a personal curse.
Yeah.
It's the perk of that is if you've been touched by it, it means it's pretty easy to track.
Okay. And then here, okay, this is super solid. We'll rewind a little bit. The first major inconvenient thing where Cyborg sort of emerges, Robin and Beast Boy are trying to fight this group of Hive people that we don't know is Hive yet, but they use something.
I was saying it's Jinx.
Huh?
Jinx.
Sure. But the thing is,
not League of Legends Jinx, the DC Jinx gang.
Yeah. I think it should be Brother Blood's magic, in that it is bad and evil. Jinx is just like, you know,
Jinx is bad luck.
Yeah, she's bad luck, and she becomes a good guy eventually. Whoops, spoiler. But the point is, Robin and Beast Boy see some, you know, C-lister bad guys doing something bad. They hop in, they fight for a little bit, and basically Robin is like, get some good shots. Like, look, team, oh, don't you want to join the Titans or whatever? And like, oh, this is, yeah, come get your membership, whatever, blah, 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 blah. C-list villains see they're beginning to lose, and then one of them calls upon the blood pact they made with Brother Blood, and they're like, and then they start stomping Robin and Beast Boy, who gets involved to turn the tide but Cyborg, and then they use that same blood bond thing to escape. And that's the only real reason Cyborg got involved, because he saw that, and it kind of reminded him of Where Science Meets Tech, the Father Box.
Right.
That's what they need Raven to trace.
Okay, I think that's two different things there, is that Cyborg feels like he's forced to become involved because he is protecting civilians, mm-hmm. and then he sees what caused that. It's like, yes. It's like the blood orb, and he's like, whoa, that could fix me.
Yes. There we go. We're back to selfish. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, this is really good. I'm liking this a lot. Cool.
So then we have Raven follows the blood power. Everyone is managing to be motivated by their own selfish purposes.
Oh my gosh, this is so good.
And we get to the Hive's underground lair, or like satellite lair, just some kind of lair. It's a lair somewhere. I think it should be in a mountain. I like a good mountain lair.
Yeah,
the Hall of the Mountain King.
Yeah.
So they get there. They're in the lair. Do we want them to see Brother Blood?
I'm thinking the half point sort of bit is basically the darkest hour. What is that called again? Darkest hour of the soul?
Dark night of the soul.
The dark night of the soul moment is the midpoint, just before the dark night of the soul, is we break into Hive headquarters. We find Starfire. We free her. She gets away. What is the motivation for freeing Starfire?
I mean, they... To all of them, they all have. I think it works if she is, like, in a glowing can, unconscious.
Yeah.
And, like, they're like, what are they doing to this? This poor girl has been kidnapped, and basically, and they let her out. And I think kind of what works here is that they're using her as a battery. It doesn't have to be super important.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Because, yeah, and then she...
They're using her
as a battery. She wakes up, and I think it works really well because it's rooted in all these people. Cyborg can't help but help. Beast Boy wants glory. Robin just wants to be a hero, his own hero more than anything. And Raven just needs to do good.
Yes.
To atone for being alive.
This is so good. Okay, they get there.
And they wake her. And they have Starfire out. And they're like kind of looking around. And then she wakes up and goes like full Jean Grey Dark Phoenix.
Exactly.
And explodes the place.
And then she goes away. She escapes. And they're all like, okay, the bad guys now have no power. But, like, that might be worse, whatever's out there now.
And it's like, let's see, what do you think, how do you think it's gonna go since we've released a very angry three quarters of a Superman?
And then, who rolls up but the smooth-talking Brother Blood to be like, fellas, we were establishing order. We are the good guys. Yeah. And who is convinced but Robin? He's like, oh, y'all were already working on a guild. This is so much quicker. This is so much easier. Heck yeah. And then Brother Blood is like, take this inhibitor collar or whatever and go get my battery back. And he's like, okay, but you have to pinky promise that you'll recruit all the other C-list superhero sidekicks and I'll get credit so that Batman will take me seriously. He's like, yeah, it's all good. And then that's the sort of darkest... Say it again.
Dark Knight of the Soul.
That's the Dark Knight of the Soul, thank you. And that leads up to... Robin is about to make the biggest mistake ever of, I'm about to get everything I want. All I have to do is enslave this alien race thing.
Yeah.
And then basically, he sees her having a very bad time.
Yeah. I think that might be a good moment for if not a split between the team members, a rift to form. Is that Robin is like, great, I don't need these guys anymore.
Yes.
And at least without like bailing on them immediately, say sort of approaching it as, awesome, I don't need these guys anymore. I can team up with you.
Yeah.
I think Raven, because of the supernatural link, can say like, I do not like this dude. This is a bad dude.
Yeah.
Saying it's like, I know, splits up. Like, this guy is bad. I know about bad things. He has horrible father vibes.
This is so solid. Okay. This is so good. So they don't like Brother Blood, and they're like, we're going to save the city, whatever, I suppose. Well, I'll get what we
And they're like, it's like, that girl doesn't know, that girl doesn't know what she's doing or what she's capable of. She's from an alien planet. We were keeping her asleep. So that we could figure out how to communicate with her. And I think that Robin goes to the island outside of the city, where they're gonna build the tower.
Ooh, yeah. Spicy. This is good.
Yeah, they goes there, and he, okay, I think there's a number of things that we can try here. Is that Robin tries to catch Starfire with their inhibitor collar, and possibly his teammates try to stop him.
What I was thinking was Robin, now so close to his goal, is like, can y'all help me track down Starfire? And that's another instance of them working as a team and getting something done. And then the second he knows where she is, he lets slip a little piece of information or something or other. But basically, he's not too ashamed of it. He's basically like, okay, I'll go get her and then I'll be out of this town. And they're like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm leaving and I'm never going to see any of you again. And basically, they all feel betrayed a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he's He's like, whatever, we split up. I don't care. I'm solo. That's the whole point of all of this.
I feel like there's an element of this is that he should, like, he should feel a little bad. He's like, look.
Well, that's true.
You guys are okay. You'll accomplish whatever it is your dreams are, which I didn't learn.
Yeah. He's like, Cyborg, you'll get all the social media followers you want. And Beast Boy, you'll stop your dad Trigon from...
Like, you know, I don't think she... You'll finally learn to stand up to your father. What? Like, I don't know.
And you'll get Batman's respect. Oh, that's me.
You'll return to your home planet. What?
Yeah.
Are you not an alien?
Are you not an alien? That's good. But the thing is...
No, I do magic. Aliens have magic.
He goes to the island or wherever the tower is going to be built.
Yes.
And then he has the one-on-one heart-to-heart with Starfire, where she is, like, the heart, the passion, and all she wants is, like, should it be all she wants is to get home, or should it be all she wants is to feel safe?
I think it kind of makes sense for Starfire to be the princess in self-imposed exile. Like, yeah. She left. She's like, Tamaranians leave their homeworlds, and it's like a thing. It's this rite of passage. It's like we're supposed to go and find our own home in the galaxy. We don't believe that just because you're born somewhere, it's where you're supposed to be.
Ooh.
Yeah. So she's spicy. Like, it's like if you search long enough and you don't find your home, you're supposed to go back. But, I searched so many planets and I was caught here. But I just want to find where I belong.
This is good. He rolls up. Robin rolls up, inhibitor collar hidden somewhere. Yep. And he's basically like, hi, we freed you. So please don't blast me. And she's like, oh, okay, cool. And all he's trying to do is get her to calm down and let her guard down. So he's like, you want to hang? You want to talk?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, yes, let's go through the custom or whatever. You tell me your story. I'll tell you mine. And then I'll help you or whatever. And that's basically her whole deal, going planet to planet, helping people to see if she fits in. Because she's just pure good. Yep. I love her.
Yep.
So Robin basically talks about, like, you know, frustration and all this other stuff. And then her super innocent ass is like, okay, but, like, what about this and that? And that really gets him thinking. So that when she tells her story and talks about just not feeling at home anywhere, and basically she's like, basically, I want to help as many people as possible. And then I wait and see how it feels. And then if I feel at home, if I feel like there's my family, then I stay. And then he's like, that is so pure and good, as she, like, turns around and she's like, now what can I help you with? And then cut to him bringing her in at the hive place, when in reality, that's him doing, like, an ambush.
Right.
Because he, like, coordinates a plan with her and the rest of the team. They got back together.
I think that, like, there is a moment where it should be coordinating just with her.
Coordinating
it's just Robin and Starfire for just this for this first moment, and then they mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have everything. They only have two of the five ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I think that it can sort of be like this return. They go back to the. I think there's something good here. It's like, what if Robin is the one who gets captured in this second round? No, that doesn't make enough sense because Starfire doesn't know the rest of them.
I think what would be basically the big showdown climax is the Teen Titans, the five, versus Brother Blood, who has had this sort of plan all along,
That's sort of, that's still a weakness in this, is that, like, well, what's Brother Blood's plan all along? His plan all along was to coordinate everyone and do soft mind control, because yes, that's Brother Blood's thing. Well, and also, apparently, like, some cool laser-powered witchy stuff.
I was going more for, you know, the blood orb or whatever you mentioned.
Yeah.
Basically, whenever he recruits someone new, he gives them, like, a cool patch or something, which he's actually using to, like, sap their life force, whatever.
Yep.
So that's why it has to be the five versus Brother Blood.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, super big and powerful and all that. And, you know, all the other C-list sidekicks are either not around or out of commission.
Right.
Big showdown.
I just think that there is a moment of, I think that there needs to be kind of this moment of contrition on Robin's part. It's like, I didn't respect y'all enough. I can't do this without you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we all need each other. Which I think is why it makes it, I think it kind of makes sense to have that moment, the others be there for that moment with Starfire on the island.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, no, you know what? I don't know. I feel,
tricky.
It's tricky. Because, you know, this is the problem juggling the ensemble cast. Yeah. Like, as you go through a process, other characters can be the focus.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, second movie, Starfire gets a lot more screen time, and Beast Boy or Cyborg can kind of be the focus of the movie instead of Robin. And then, you know, like, the third one, it's Raven's turn. It's Raven's movie, and this is the big one where shit hits the fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy. That's good.
Yeah. And I don't know, second one is just about guys being dudes, being best pals, playing AJR songs.
Friends hanging out.
Yep. It's like there's a dude they gotta fight, and oh no, they get mad at each other, but they're friends again, and the other guys are also there.
Alright, I think...
Okay, but, yeah.
I think we do have to gloss over this one plot point. Not ignore it completely, but, you know, leave a not perfect version to allow room for a rewrite to come back, because we have 4 minutes.
Okay, well then that's great. So they defeat Brother Blood. They come back, like they all come together to defeat him.
Yes, what I was thinking was Brother Blood gives Robin a blood orb.
Uh-huh.
And then when they come back and Robin is like, aha, it's a trap, but this inhibitor collar is turned off. And then Brother Blood like, and then Robin's like, ooh, you know, like, oh, the blood orb is definitely working. Ooh. And then he's like, yeah, Robin, you're an idiot. Inhibitor, put a real inhibitor collar on her now. And then Robin like turns over because he's like doing the fetal position faced away from the camera. And then he turns over and like the blood orb is either fake or it's like obviously not working.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he hit up Raven and Cyborg to like analyze it, and they told him like what it really was, and so that was part of the plan.
Yeah,
they're there, and like the guard he just told to grab him is Cyborg with a different hoodie on or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
nice.
So like that's part of the ambush, is like, aha, we're going to win because we're working together. And
and then they just fight him in a badass way.
Yeah. And it's just a badass fight, because it's a
badass fight. It's a superhero. And then there's some like thematic thing that comes back. I don't know, Robin. I don't know. Somehow they all do something together. That,
yeah.
And they coordinate. They're throwing things. It's like Raven defends, and when Robin attacks, and Robin defends when Raven attacks. That kind of thing.
Yes.
It's about coordination. They defeat Brother Blood.
And then
go out for pizza.
And then Robin has his last call with Batman, where he explains he's staying.
Yep.
Or Batman is like, hey bro, and that does leave.
Yeah, it's like, I kind of like the idea of, like, when will you be back? I don't know.
I didn't... Batman is, like, excellent work. You took down an evil secret cabal. When will you be back? And he's like, well, yeah, I did take down a super secret evil cabal, but, like, that wasn't the job. And then Batman is like, oh, you... And Robin is basically letting him know, like... I wanted to do my own thing. This is it.
Yeah.
And like, he says, I'm chilling. I'm starting the Teen Titans.
I found a place that feels like home.
Yes. Yeah. Boom. There it is. Robin is much more mentally healthy now. It's all good.
Yeah. It's like, that's a thing for them to say out on the island.
Yeah.
Feels like home.
And then Robin, basically, it's going to be a little cheesy, but, and we don't have to commit because it's story tap.
Yeah.
If it sucks, then it didn't happen. He's like, I've got my own, I thought I wanted to do my own thing. Really, I just wanted to be a part of my own team. And then Batman's like, hey, props, that's awesome. You have an idea of what you all want to be called or what you want to call yourselves. And then smash cut to black. And then it's like, the Teen Titans.
And then, you know, we get the music.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah, it's so great.
This is so good. Oh my gosh, I completely forgot that, like, before we started recording this episode, we're saving Deathstroke for the second movie. This is only part one.
Oh yeah, we get a holy cow. I mean, we can kind of get the teaser at the end. It's like Brother Blood has been incapacitated. Interesting.
And who's voicing him but Ron Perlman?
It's like interesting. Like, is this why do you think this will, should I readjust the time frame, sir? No. We had everything we needed from him.
Oh gosh.
Move on to phase two. And keep an eye on that island.
Keep an eye on that one. And then Robin fills the screen.
Yeah.
And that's like the end. That is like good enough.
Yeah.
But what would hit really hard for original Teen Titans show fans is if you were like, you had that slow fade in and people like slowly figure out like, oh my gosh, it's Slade. This is a huge deal. I'm so happy. This is so hype. And then, you know, someone, he's talking, you're not sure who he's talking to, but you don't care because it's Slade. And then he like turns and he's talking to Brain. That would actually be nuts.
That is pretty nuts. I like that.
Oh man. Okay. So, we have come up with our teaser. Okay, here's a creative exercise. Next week, we will do Teen Titans Part 2. This is a two-parter sort of thing.
This is a two-parter. So I feel like we could get five movies out of this, but that's not important right now.
Yeah, so we have to decide now.
I think Trigon is Part 5. Part 4 and 5.
Yeah, Trigon should be Part 3. Not like, in a realistic sense, striking deals with studios and distribution and all that. Trigon being the big bad that he is, you would have to put that on 3 and sort of be like, we're going for 3. But anyway, we have to maybe, as like a creative exercise, we decide right now, is it just Deathstroke or is it Deathstroke and Brain? Because personally, Deathstroke and Brain would hit so much harder, and it would be like pulling the rug out from someone and then loving it and then pulling out an even bigger second rug and then loving it all the more. But I don't think that would be worth losing the potential of just a Deathstroke movie.
Yeah, I think I would go with just Deathstroke and make that, and we'll make that.
Oh my gosh. And that would be Red X and all of that.
Oh my gosh. I think that. No, then he's talking to Red X. He looks at Red X. Oh, wait, no, Red X is... I forgot.
He's talking to Red X. How? Oh, right. Oh, right. That's pretty... Okay. This was awesome. I can't wait for next week.
Yeah. All right, so I think this story... the story has been tapped Part 1.
To be continued?
To be continued. Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter at StoryTapPodcast. It helps a ton. And thanks again.